May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is Palm Sunday. We've just come through a time of Lent when we prepare ourselves for the events of Holy Week. And on Palm Sunday, it seems like a spark of joy, a day of triumph even, after all this, you know, somberness that we've been through and the somberness that we'll have soon. So before we come to the events of Good Friday, we remember the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. The crowds went ahead of Jesus, shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David, salvation in the highest. The excitement, joy, and expectation was palpable. But we know that only a few days later, the crowd would turn against Jesus. He was seen as a threat by religious and political leaders, and the crowd was soon worked up against Jesus. From the euphoria of Palm Sunday to the depths of Good Friday, there were just a few days, and yet it was all part of Jesus' path to the cross for the salvation of all humanity. Maybe the procession on Palm Sunday would inevitably clash sooner or later with the powers that be. But a few centuries later, processions would be held where the cross of Jesus was held high and the powers of this world bowed low. So with the coronation of King Charles drawing near, I thought we'd look at how celebrations for the coronation of Queen Elizabeth began here in Canterbury, and we've got a video about that.
The bells ring out. The highest hopes are fulfilled. From all New Zealand rise thanks for the coronation of the Queen. Far over the Southern Alps, the echoes reach out, for it is a day of special rejoicing to those who have trodden these heights. Near the Franz Josef Glacier is the little church of St. James. Amongst the congregation are two great mountaineers, Peter and Alec Graham. Among those who worship in the little church at Long Beach are Mr. John Grigg, his wife and daughters. The Queen herself will attend divine service here during her forthcoming tour. Praise is heard in lovely Christchurch Cathedral, where the service is conducted by the Right Reverend A.K. Warren, Bishop of Christchurch.
United us at this time in allegiance to our most gracious Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, and called us to renew our covenant with thee. Hear us as by thy grace we give ourselves to thy service and dedicate our lives to the welfare of our people, the peace of the world, and the glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, the reel continues with civic celebrations, especially in Wellington. But what becomes obvious is that the coronation of the new monarch was steeped in recognition that this new monarch herself was subject to the King of Kings, and that this carpenter riding on a donkey into Jerusalem was more important than the queen of so many territories that the sun never set on her realm. And so, as we come today, we know that the coronation of King Charles will still take place in Westminster Abbey during a church service. But I don't think the main events at the beginning of the coronation around the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth will be church services. Most people will not see the powers that be subject to a crucified prophet from a remote corner of the Roman Empire. If the powers that be are subject to anything, they are subject to the will of the people, we say, though in today's environment more subject to the will of the right people. In a sense, within the last 70 years, much of the world has moved rapidly from Palm Sunday to somewhere near Good Friday, from the joyous thanksgiving to God to a rejection of Christ and the call to have Jesus removed from all spheres of influence. During the time of Christendom, the culture was infused with a Christian ethos from which concern for the poor and the dignity of every person flowed. Yes, chivalry and honor culture and a certain crudeness were seen alongside a Christian ethos and sometimes overshadowed it. But the concern for the weak and marginalized, for justice and forgiveness, was always there. If God was revealed through Christ crucified, then that meant that not the powerful were in the right, but those who followed the loving ways of God. At least in theory, might was not right. In addition to that was the practice of respect towards the church, which even in its most ostentatious forms represented an ethos of self-giving and simplicity. People regularly came to church and were presented with a gospel, whether the hell and brimstone variety or an emphasis on good news. They had at least an inkling that their ultimate responsibility was before God. Also, the social rules of the times kept families together, though quite a few chafed at the restrictions. People knew their responsibilities before God and human society. Not everyone was a dedicated follower of Jesus, and religion sometimes sat a bit uneasy alongside other cultural elements. But overall, the Christian faith saturated many societies. By the time of the Queen's coronation, much had happened that had already cracked a purported loyalty to Christ. We may see that most particularly in the economic exploitation of other humans, whether it was peasants on estates, laborers in factories, commodity trades with colonies, or the history of slavery, which supposedly Christian nations adopted as they expanded into overseas territories. The Enlightenment had already convulsed much of Christendom with its eagerness to bring down the ancien regime, as the French called it, under which the church had used its stature in society to corruptly draw power and wealth to itself. But still, Christendom continued on, and settlers built churches as they moved from the European Christian nations across the world. Missionary efforts throughout the world saw the rapid growth of the church, particularly in Africa and somewhat more slowly in Asia. After the horrors of World War II, people turned more towards God again, and briefly there in the late 1940s and 50s, there was a flourishing of Christian society under the cross. It was in this renewed relevance of the church that the coronation of the Queen happened in 1953. Already from the 1960s onwards, new influences began to push aside Christian thinking. The church responded strongly through its youth movements. Still, through a greater focus on individualism, Christ was removed from many lives. This manifested itself through the sexual revolution, a reaction against authority, market economics that degenerated even to a greed is good ethic, as well as scientism and technocracy. In those decades of the late 20th century, the church was seen as old-fashioned, quaint, and not as exciting as what new ideas and lifestyles could offer. This has changed in this century. Now, the main streams of thought have picked up several of the Christian motives and emotions, the fight for the disadvantaged and a thirst for justice. But having done that, they have turned on Christian values and beliefs in doing that. Christianity is not so much seen as irrelevant as last century, but rather as dangerous and repressive. This new ideology has come with a strong moralism, which does not tolerate any dissent, and in which the elimination of dangerous thought and action is acceptable. Because the concept of forgiveness has been jettisoned, these new streams become ever more strident. It's only a small step to the cry, crucify them. I don't think we are at that point, and I'm grateful for that. At the moment, we are just at a stage where we have guidelines against giving funds to Christian groups and where Christians are often ridiculed. I don't think Christians and churches are really persecuted in the West, though they have a lot of difficulties. And there are also encouraging signs that the tide is slowing, if not turning. Nevertheless, it is possible that at some time, disciples of Jesus follow the footsteps of their master on the way from Palm Sunday to Good Friday. If the time of Queen Elizabeth's coronation was something of an uplifting triumph, are we moving towards a time when the crowds turn against Jesus and those who follow him? The disciples did not really see the change coming. Yes, of course, we read that they were afraid about going to Jerusalem because they knew of the opposition that Jesus would face there. But Palm Sunday seemed to reassure them that Jesus was accepted, and it seemed to confirm his worldly influence. But the events from the arrest of Jesus to his death on the cross stood in sharp contrast to this triumphal entry. Many of the disciples ran away when Jesus was taken, when the going got tough. I wonder what we would do if society turned against Christians. Would we just accept the change from the days of Christendom to new secularism and go along with the progress? Would we join the crowd? Would we run and hide? Would we walk with Jesus and take up our cross and follow him? What would our response be? The thing is that we may indeed face that choice. And then the layout of the church, the color of the carpet, the tunes we sing our hymns to, the exact words we use in our liturgy, all this won't matter. Then the only thing that matters is the question that Peter was asked. Are you also with Jesus of Nazareth?